Why care to share the gospel? The church in the book of Acts saw gospel sharing as a very fundamental part of their existence. They care to share the gospel. There won't be the church today if the disciples back then did not share the gospel. It's as simple as that. If they did not share the gospel, there won't be the church today. I think it was Billy Graham who said that the church is just one generation away from existence. And I think that makes pretty good sense. The church is just one generation away from existence. That is, if the present generation will stop sharing the gospel, then the next generation will not be believers anymore. Which means we need to share the gospel. Amen? So tell the person next to you, you need to share. Alright? Nung bata pa lang tayo, tinuruan na tayo ng mga magulang natin, ng mga teachers natin, we need to share. Share ka naman, share ka naman. It's the same thing with the gospel. So we're going to answer the question this morning, why do we need to share the gospel? We just need to go to the church in the book of Acts and we will see the reasons why they share the gospel. And whatever reasons that we see in the church in the book of Acts, those would be the same answers that we will have today as to why we must care to share the gospel. So let's start. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, again, I am asking for your presence to be here. I am asking that you will be the one to empower these frail human words. Anoint these words that come from my lips. Allow that your words will be alive, it will be active, it will be powerful, that there will be conviction in our hearts. Lord, I can only do so much, but you are the one who gives life to your word. I pray that there be activation even after this message is preached. The glory and honor will all be yours. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, and everybody say, amen, amen. The first reason why we must care to share. Number one, we care because of God's love. We care because of God's love. Now, talking about God's love, the verse that comes to mind would be John 3:16. And everybody knows this. Huwag niyo na ilagay dyan. Nailagay na. John 3:16, and everybody go, for God so loved the world that He gave His. Alright, so this is God's love. God's love was manifested when He gave His only begotten Son. God's love was manifested when He gave His only begotten Son. That which is most precious to Him, God gave. Why? Because He loved. In the same manner, we care because God has placed this same love in our hearts. This same love. Look at this. Romans chapter 5, verse 5. Alright? And everybody read, go. And hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom He has given us. It says here that that God who gave His only begotten Son. Now, mind you, God's only Son was not just some son who wanted to be king over all. God's only Son was a missionary son. He was a missionary son who saw planet Earth and that planet Earth needed saving. And so He comes down from heaven, goes to Earth, and He says, I want to save you. That's the kind of a son that He gave. Now, if we have the same love, it says here, God has poured out His love into... Sino rito may heart, taas ang kamay? That's good to know. God has poured out His same love into our hearts. Question is this, if God has poured out His same love into our hearts, what are we doing with that love? It's there. Tell yourself, God's love is here. Now, what are we doing with that love? Let me read this same verse to you from the Passion Translation. It says here, and this hope is not a disappointing fantasy because we can now experience the endless love of God cascading into our hearts. I love that. Listen. We can now experience the endless love of God cascading into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who lives in us. God is pouring out of His love. He's pouring out His love into our hearts. What do we do with that love? I've always struggled with this. Ate Lolet knows this. Heidi Baker has been inviting me to go to Mozambique for like so many times. She's been telling me, Hiram, you should come. Hiram, you should come. Hiram, you should minister in Mozambique. Hiram, you should come. But you never come. Now, the problem with me is this. Maselan po ako minsan. When I heard from other missionaries the condition of doing missions work in Mozambique, I start to struggle just by imagining. When they tell me that they need to fetch two pails of water from so far and then bring it back to the camp so that they will have something to drink. Not even to clean themselves up, but just something to drink. And I ask, so what do you do to clean yourself up? They have the wipes. They use wipes. I said, I don't think I can make it there. I'm struggling. But then again, if we will just really, truly meditate on this verse that says that God has poured out His love into our hearts. If that love is there, then it's not going to be based on human effort. It's not going to be based on what we can do and what our strength is. It's going to be based on the love of God that's just overflowing from our lives. And this is something that I'm praying for, that I will find no excuses, no more excuses, so that we will just go for it. Now, I'm not asking each one of you to go to Mozambique. I'm just asking you if there's someone in your family, if there's someone in your neighborhood, someone in your school, someone in your office that God is telling you to reach out to, let the love of God flow from your heart and reach out to that person. Amen? Amen? That's number one. Why care to share? We care because of God's love. God's love has been placed into our hearts so that we will want to love people and bring the gospel to them. Amen? Amen. Amen. That's number one. We care because of God's love. Number two, I have 7 points. I'm going to be quick with this, all right? Number two. Why care to share? We care because of Christ's command. We care because of Christ's command. Everybody say command. Amen. All right? Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 to 20. Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20. And everybody will read. Go. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. 19. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. 20. And teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Now, watch this. Jesus tells the disciples, hey, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go. The going is based on the verse 18. He says, therefore, go. There is no going if there is no therefore. All right? The going is based on the therefore. Now, what is the therefore? All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go. If Jesus did not get all authority, alright, understand this. If Jesus did not get all authority, He would not be so bold to tell His followers, hey, go. Because if He did not have all authority and then He tells us to go, pinapahamak niya tayo. But He is so bold to tell His followers, hey, listen up. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. And because you're following me, you can now go because I have all authority and I'm giving it to you. I'm giving it to you. Now, because of this, we know that the command of Jesus has power in it. Understand, it is only for those who choose to obey. Everybody say obey. It is only for those who choose to obey that the promise of power and presence is given. If you're not obeying, don't even claim, Lord, I thought you have all authority. Jesus will ask you, why? Are you going? Lord, you said, you will be with me to the end of the age. Why don't I feel your presence? Why? Are you going? Sometimes we wonder, why is it that I'm living a powerless life? Why is it that signs and wonders are not following me? But Jesus would ask you back, why are you going? Because He says, all authority. Everybody say, all authority. I love that. I really would like to see the church as an obedient church. Because we are church so blessed, and you cannot be so blessed if you're disobeying. Bible says, if you fully obey the commands of the Lord your God, and part of the commands of God would be for us to go. Share the gospel. If we're not sharing the gospel, we're disobeying. The promise is, if you fully obey the commands of the Lord your God, then all these blessings will come upon you. You will be so blessed. And this is church so blessed. Meaning to say, we're obeying the command of Jesus to go. And when was the last time you goed? You went. When was the last time? Let's reflect on this, people. When was the last time you really took a step to share Jesus with someone? Pastor, I really want to. I just don't know how. Well, you know what? We're filling up the blanks right here. By next Sunday, you won't have any more excuse. But suffice it to say, I have told you, you can just start with one verse. If you want, you can just start with John 3:16. Or you can just do Romans chapter 6, verse 23. And that is the verse that we will be using starting next Sunday when Dr. Andrew Lewson presents to us the life-death card. Who's excited for that? Ano nga sa darating? Hallelujah. Okay. So that's number two. Why care to share? We care because of Christ's command. Jesus told us to go, therefore we will go. Amen? Number three. Why care to share? We care because of Holy Spirit's thrust. We care because of Holy Spirit's thrust. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And everybody read, go. But you will receive power. Everybody say, power. Who wants the power of God? Who wants the power of God in your life? All right? You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. Now, for us today, please don't take this literally that you need to go to Jerusalem. Pastor, gusto ko nga eh. No problem with that. I mean, let's fly to Israel, every one of us. But right now, when the Bible speaks of us going to Jerusalem, Jerusalem would be that community that would be nearest to us. Your Jerusalem, my Jerusalem, would be our immediate family, our loved ones. That would be our Jerusalem. Some people would like to do missions in America. I want to be a missionary to the U.S. It's a mission field now, I heard. It's true. It's true, by the way. I'm not being sarcastic here, all right? The United States, Canada, oh, lalo na Canada. I mean, they have created laws that I would say are anti-God, all right? But then again, you don't need to go so far to find your Jerusalem. Your Jerusalem would be your immediate circle. Who among you have relatives here? You have relatives? Yung hindi nagtaas ng kamay, mga singaw. Bigla lang lumitaw, Pastor. Wala akong relatives. Of course, we all have relatives. Alright? You have friends. Who has friends here? Friends? Please be friendly. We need to be a friendly church. I understand we may be shy, but please be friendly. Alright? If you have friends, if you have relatives, that would be your Jerusalem. Now, understand, when Jesus promised us the Holy Spirit's power, He says, you will receive power. Now, I know when it comes to power, everybody wants power. Which is why when I get invited to speak in a church and the topic has to do with power evangelism or power healing, power signs and wonders, people come. We like that. We like that. We like demonstrations of the power of God. We like seeing healings taking place. We love seeing those people who grow taller instantly. We like that. Now, I also like that. Don't get me wrong. Gustong gusto ko yung mga demonstrations of power because there, you just see how good and how powerful our God is. But we miss the point when we will confine it to just demonstrations of power and not seeing why there have to be demonstrations of power. Hindi po pwedeng nag-demo ka lang ng power without knowing the purpose of it. Jesus said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you and then you will be my witnesses. The power is for witnessing. Why care to share? Because of the Holy Spirit's thrust. And what is the thrust of the Holy Spirit? For us to be witnesses. Why would He give you that anointing to heal someone? Why would He give you that anointing to cast demons out? So that you can be His witness. So that there, through that person who's healed, you have illustration number one. See, that's my Jesus. I remember being called to deliver someone when I was still pastoring in Mandaluyong. So somebody calls me up and requests me. It was a request, but it was a frantic request. Pastor, please come. My neighbor is manifesting demons in him. So I went there. Well, cut the long story short, it took us about 3 hours to cast that demon out. And the neighbors saw what happened inside. Alam nyo, yung mga sumisilip sa bahay na mga usi. And they were watching what was going on inside the house. There was a time, I don't know if you can relate with this, there was a time when not everyone had colored TV. I remember my younger days, we had black and white TV, and then our neighbor got a 14-inch colored TV, and we got to watch PBA. And it was really a sight to behold, like, whoa, may kulay! And we would be there in that neighbor's house, sometimes outside the window, we're just going to watch because it's colored TV. Now, if you don't have colored TV, you can just wait for someone to be demonized and then watch what's going on inside. Basically, that was what happened in that community. When they found out that one of the neighbors was manifesting demons, they were all outside the house, nanonood what was going on. All right? And they saw that this highly demonized person was manifesting. He was violent. And then in the name of Jesus, we cast the demon out. And ultimately, the demon was cast out. This person was so happy when he was set free. And when I came out, when I came out of the house, the people, the neighborhood, clapped their hands. Whoa! Ano nangyari dito? Parang ako naging hero na, whoa! Palakpakan sila. Sabi ko, did you see what happened inside? And they said, yes, we were watching it the whole time. Sabi ko, wow, pelikula. Live action. But when they saw that, they saw the power of the name of Jesus, that every time I use the name of Jesus, the demonic spirit inside that man would just submit and come out, submit and come out. And I told them, you know what? That was Jesus. He is the real God. He's not hanging on the cross. He did not remain as a baby. You know, such images fill up the minds of many of our kababayans. That when you talk about Jesus, he's the baby boy. Cute, rosy cheeks. Now, if he's not the baby boy, he's the one hanging on the cross. But understand this, if he's just a baby boy, ihaharap mo sa isang demonyo na may tinidor, kawawa yung baby boy. And if he is still hanging on the cross, how can he wage a good warfare against demons? But he is not like that at all. So I explained it to them, that's the Jesus of the Bible. And I asked them, do you want that Jesus in your life too? And they said, yes. Just like that. Why? Because you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and then you will be my witnesses. Any form of power demonstration must always come to a conclusion of witnessing to other people. Somebody gets healed, that's Jesus. You want Jesus? Yes. Somebody gets delivered, that's Jesus, because he loves you. You want Jesus? We care because of the Holy Spirit's thrust, and the thrust of Holy Spirit is always to win souls. Sino sa inyo alam ninyo, you're the temple of the Holy Spirit. The thrust of that Holy Spirit in you is to win souls. Number four, let's move on. Why care to share? We care because of our responsibility. We care because of our responsibility. What is our responsibility? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20. All right? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20. And it will come. Everybody read, go. We are, therefore, Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. How is God making his appeal to the world? Through his ambassadors. Tell the person next to you, you're an ambassador of Christ. Wow, have you ever seen yourself as an ambassador? An ambassador is supposed to represent his country well. An ambassador is supposed to represent his president or his king well. I have a story. I don't know if I can tell you that story, but I have a story. And I'm asking God right now if I should tell you that story. Wag na lang. Wag na. It may not help your spirit. And this will go worldwide because of Facebook Live. A story goes. that our former president, Cory Aquino, invited Mikhail Gorbachev, the former Soviet Union leader, to come visit the Philippines. And so Gorbachev came. He came. This is just a story, all right? This is just a story. I mean, this is a made-up story. It's not true. It's fiction. So Gorbachev came. And, of course, our president, Cory Aquino, was there with him. They were riding in the same car. And Gorbachev, he was looking around, and he would see guys facing the wall. Facing the wall. As they were traveling, these guys were facing the wall. And Gorbachev was wondering, Madam President, if I may ask, what are those guys doing? I mean, I see one guy after another, and they're just facing the wall. And President Cory was embarrassed, like she wanted to cover her face, but sheepishly she says, well, those guys, well, they're trying to relieve themselves. Umiihi. All right? Oh, I'm so sorry. Okay, all right. So, no more talk of it. No more talk of it. And Gorbachev returned the invitation to Cory, and he says, Madam President, if I may, I want you to come visit the Soviet Union so that you can have a taste of our country. And so, President Cory, she goes to the Soviet Union, and she was riding in the same car with Mikhail Gorbachev. And President Cory was also looking out for something that she can point to. Of course, I mean, she was embarrassed. And so she was looking for something, and finally she saw one man facing the wall. And she says, hey, Mr. Premier, if I may ask, what's that guy doing? Oh, that guy, that's the Philippine ambassador. All right. Now, going back to my point. Pero talo pa rin eh. The point is this. If you're an ambassador, represent your country well. Don't go facing the wall. If you're an ambassador, don't go around telling people I'm a Christian and you don't behave like Christ. Don't go around telling people I'm born again, but the way you talk is so rough, it hurts people. Don't go around telling people I'm a Christian, I go to church so blessed. And then you get to destroy lives by gossip or by immorality or whatever. Sabihin mo na lang kulto ka. We have a responsibility. And that is for us to be Christ's ambassadors. The Bible says this. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors as though God were making His appeal. God is making an appeal through us. Come back to God. Come back to God. Would they listen to you if they look at you, if they see you, if they listen to you? Would they go back to God when they witness your life? Oh, I pray that I will make a good ambassador for Jesus. I pray that we will all make good ambassadors for Jesus. Amen? And that's number four. If we don't witness, if we will not act like, if we will not talk like we are Christ's ambassadors, people, God won't be heard. Because we will be the only voice that these people will ever hear who will talk about Jesus. I mean, who will talk about Jesus? Yung kulto? Who will talk about Jesus? Those guys who would come to you with a nameplate? Who would talk about Jesus? Those guys who would say that Jesus is not God. Who will talk about Jesus? I say it should be us. We are the real ambassadors of Jesus. Everybody who claims to be born again, who is a Christian, who has surrendered his or her life to Jesus, we are the ones who have been given the task to be the ambassadors of Jesus. Amen? Introduce yourself to the person next to you. I'm ambassador so-and-so. So-and-so. Alright? Look at that ambassador. That guy, that gal, never faces the wall. Hallelujah. Here's a question. What if we do not discharge our obligation? What if we don't do our job as ambassadors? Here's a story. It's an apocryphal tale about what happened when Jesus returned to heaven after the ascension. So Jesus goes up to heaven, goes back to heaven. He was with the angelic host, and Gabriel asked him what plans he had made for continuing his work on earth. Jesus replied, "I have left behind 11 men and have entrusted the task to them." "But what if they fail?" asked Gabriel. Jesus replied, "If they fail, I have no other plan." It's as simple as that. If we fail to be his ambassadors, there's no plan B. Nobody else will be doing the preaching of the gospel. Angels cannot preach the gospel. You know why? Because in the first place, they have not tasted of the grace of God. They have not tasted of the mercy of the Lord. They have not been washed by the blood of Jesus. Only human beings can testify to the power of the mercy, the grace of God. Only human beings. Angels cannot sing Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. They don't know what a wretched being is. They don't know salvation. But we can sing Amazing Grace. Yeah. Which is why we can go out and tell people, "Hey, I have experienced Amazing Grace. I have experienced being washed by the blood of Jesus." Angels cannot. So we are the only ambassadors that Christ depends on to save the world back to Him. Amen? Let's move on. Number 5. Why care to share? We care because of our great privilege. We care because of our great privilege. What's the privilege? 2 Corinthians 4:7. Let's look at this. Oh, such a great privilege. Everybody read, go. "But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us." Look at this. Here would be the treasure. Everybody say treasure. What's the treasure? The treasure would be the gospel. The treasure would be the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the treasure. And God says, "Hey, jar of clay, come here." The jar of clay has a name. The name is Hiram. The jar of clay has a name. The name is Lolet. The jar of clay has a name. Your name is right there. "Hey, jar of clay, come here. I'm going to put this treasure inside of you." We have this treasure in jars of clay. Each one of us, we carry this treasure inside of us. But see, we're only containers. And containers, we're supposed to display this treasure to all the world. I mean, imagine the great privilege that God has given to each one of us, that although we are mere jars of clay, God says, "I will put the greatest treasure in the universe inside of you." The greatest treasure. So what do we do with the greatest treasure? We display to the whole world. And the Apostle Paul says, we have this treasure in jars of clay. I am just a jar of clay. You are just a jar of clay. But then guess what? God says, you may be a jar of clay, but I see you. You are crucial in my plan. Because you, jar of clay, you get to carry this great treasure that's called the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's a great privilege. I was looking at the life of the Apostle Paul. Every time the Apostle Paul remembers that he is just a jar of clay. Every time the Apostle Paul remembers, you know, a jar of clay, it's so earthly. So earthly. It reminds you of your sinfulness. The Apostle Paul is grateful for the privilege of witnessing for Jesus. I'll give you three verses, all right? I'll show you how the Apostle Paul looks at himself and he counts it. Lord, thank you, such a high privilege that you would entrust the gospel to me for me to share this to the world. Look at these three verses first. 1 Corinthians 15:9. Alright? 1 Corinthians 15:9. Everybody read, go. For I am the least of the apostles and do not even deserve to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. What? A mindset. What an attitude. Look at this. The Apostle Paul, he looks at himself. He says, you know what? I'm the least of the apostles. Matter of fact, I don't even want to be called an apostle. Some people now, they crave for that title. Call me apostle. He says, I'm not even worthy. I don't deserve to be called an apostle. It's just that I'm given this office. I need to do it. I need to perform it. I am an apostle. But truth be told, I don't deserve to be called an apostle. Mind you, this is the great Apostle Paul, the one who wrote Romans up to Hebrews. He wrote half of the New Testament. He won half the world to Jesus Christ, including the Gentile world. Just in case you didn't know, we are all Gentiles here. Unless there's a Jew. But, meron Jew tay buhok ko ah. Judas. Walang Judas dito. Julogs. Observe this. The Apostle Paul, he's saying, I'm just a jar of clay. I'm the least of the apostles. Now, as he matures, look at this, huh? Ephesians chapter 3, verses 7 to 9. Everybody read, go. I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of his power. Verse 8. Although I am less than the least of all God's people, this grace was given to me to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, verse 9, and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God who created all things. Look at this, verse 8, although I am less than the least of all God's people. Earlier he was saying, I'm the least of the apostles. Now he's saying, I'm the least of all God's people. He's not even looking at himself in that category now of the great apostles. No, I'm just the least of all God's people. As he matures. Finally, another verse. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners of whom I am the worst. He starts from, I'm the least of the apostles. And then he moves on to saying, I'm the least, the worst of all sinners. And now he says, I'm the worst of all sinners. I'm the least of all God's people. And now, He's saying, I'm the worst of all sinners. What is he saying here? I see myself. I'm just a jar of clay. I've got nothing to boast of. I have got no biodata here. I don't care how people perceive me. What matters is I have this treasure in this jar of clay. And everybody here, we're all jars of clay. What matters is what we carry. And that's the treasure inside of us. It's a great privilege, people, that Jesus would even entrust the preaching of the gospel to each one of us. Amen?
Amen.
Number six, let's move on. Huh. Why care to share? We care because of other people's needs. We care because of other people's needs. What would be the greatest need of everyone? What would be the greatest need of all the peoples of the world? The greatest need would be salvation. Salvation, that's the greatest need. Jesus said it, so clearly and so powerfully, what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and yet lose his own soul? I believe I've said this before, but the mathematical equation as far as Jesus is concerned is this. He says, what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and yet lose his own soul? You know, the mathematical equation would be one soul is greater than the whole world. That's the equation. Jesus is saying, hey, you can get the whole world, but it won't matter if you lose your own soul. Imagine one person who owns the whole world. Wala sa kalingkingan si Henry C. Gokongwe, Ayala, name it. Bill Gates. Whoever. Jesus is saying, what will it profit you if you win the whole world? You may have all the companies in the world. You may have a monopoly of all the wealth in the world. You lose your own soul, your soul is still of greater worth than everything that this world has got to offer. The greatest need of any person in this planet is salvation. And you know what? We carry that. We're so happy to announce to everyone, I'm saved. My name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. When I die, I know I'm not going to perish, but I will have eternal life. We have that. It's something that we are so sure of. We can die right now and we know we're going to heaven if you have Jesus in your heart. Bible is so clear about it. If you have the Son of God, you have life. If you don't have the Son of God, you don't have life. We have salvation. We know the good news. We know the way to heaven. Jesus is the way to heaven. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. It's so clear. Whatever the universalists would say, that, well, you know, all of these religions, they will all lead people to the same direction. All will go to heaven. Who has heard that line, by the way? All these religions, they all lead to the same God. You know, the God of the Buddhists, the God of the Muslims, the God of the Confucianists. The God of the confused. All of these, they lead to the same God. You know what? That would be the most foolish statement of all. Or Jesus would be the most foolish of all. Because Jesus could have argued with the Father, Father naman, had I known that there are other ways, why send me to the cross? Why would Jesus have to travail before the Father when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane? Why would Jesus have to shed like the sweat and the drops of blood even as he was haggling with God and saying, oh Father, if it is possible, take this cup away from me. What's the cup? It's the cup of wrath. It's the cup of suffering that was the cross.
And he was saying, "Oh Father, if it's possible, take this cup away from me. Yet not my will, but your will be done." Oh Father, my goodness, I just found out. I mean, you can take this way of the Buddhists and still go to heaven. I just found out you can take this way of the Muslims and still go to heaven. You can take this way of the Iglesia and still go to heaven. Goodness, and why do you have to send me to the cross? If you will accept that statement from the universalists and say that there are other ways, Jesus is the most foolish of all. But he went through the horrors of the cross because he loves us, he loves you and I, and he loves everyone. And we know this gospel truth. And we care because we know those people out there, they need to know this truth. Everyone. We care because of other people's needs. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, verse 2. It says here, "As for you," the Apostle Paul is talking to the Ephesian church here. He says, "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient." See, the Apostle Paul is making, he is drawing a line right here. "As for you, you were." Everybody say, "You were." That's in the past. The Apostle Paul is saying, "Hey, Ephesian church, I want you to know you are now in Jesus. Because you are now in Jesus, you are saved. For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith." That's Ephesians. You have been saved. You are now saved. You were dead. But now you are saved. He's making a delineation right here. If you're in Jesus, you are saved. If you're not in Jesus, you were dead. It's the same thing for all those people out there, if we even care. If they're not in Jesus, you are dead. You're following the ruler of the kingdom of the air. You're following the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. But if you believe in Jesus, you are saved. Luke chapter 19, verse 10. Jesus says, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost." That's His purpose for coming, to save people, to save people. That's our purpose for existence, to save people. The church is meant to be a place where people get saved. It's one of our primary purposes for existence. If we cease to save people, we miss the point. I got this from Michael Green. He says this, "The sad truth is, the New Testament talks of two realms, darkness and light. It talks of two powers, the power of Satan and of God. It talks of two gods, the God of this world and God Almighty. It talks about two ways, the broad way which leads to destruction or the narrow way which leads to life. It talks about two choices, for Christ or against Christ. It talks about two groupings, wheat and tares, wise and foolish, in or out of the great supper, with Christ or without Christ. There is no middle ground." Always two. Always two. Are you for Christ? Are you anti-Christ? Are you going to heaven? Are you going to hell? No middle ground. Finally, why care to share? We care because it brings us joy. I don't know about you. Charles Spurgeon put it this way.
The greatest joy that a Christian can have is called the soul winner's joy. I mean, just for you to know that because you share the gospel to someone and that person received Jesus, that you have actually spelled the difference between that person's life or eternal life. Only because you talked. Only because you gave that person the opportunity to make a decision. Do I believe in Jesus? Do I not? Only because you gave that person an option. We care because it will bring us so much joy. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 19. Oh, this is so good. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 19. The Apostle Paul says this, "For what is our..." Everybody read, go. "For what is our hope, our joy, or the crown in which we will glory in the presence of our Lord Jesus when He comes? Is it not you?" I mean, imagine the scenario here. The Apostle Paul, basically, he's talking to the Thessalonian church. And he says, "Hey, Thessalonian church, you know what? When Jesus Christ comes back, when I am in the presence of our Lord Jesus, when He comes back, did you know that when He comes back, you will be my joy, you will be my crown? Because in His presence, you will be there, and Jesus is going to tell me, 'Hey Paul, you won these guys. You won the Thessalonians to me. And because of that, the Apostle Paul, you will have something to rejoice about.' When our time comes and we are in front of the Lord Jesus Christ, question, will you have your crowns? Will you have these souls?" I'm just imagining this. When my time comes, I go to heaven, I will get to meet some people that I may not even know of. I will get to meet some people, and they will probably approach me, and they will say, "Pastor Hiram, thank you. You share the gospel. Because you share the gospel and you were not selfish about it, I'm now here in heaven." Somebody will approach me. I know someone will approach me because I share the gospel. One of the craziest things, I don't know about if there's anything about my voice, but this is crazy. I was in Kidapawan. I was with Pastor Elmer. We went there. Nagkikwentuhan lang kami ni Pastor Elmer. We were inside the restroom. Kikwentuhan kami ni Pastor Elmer. And somebody approached me and says, "Pastor Hiram, excuse me, kayo po ba si Pastor Hiram?" Sabi ko, "Oh, yes, I am Pastor Hiram." "I knew it." I said, "How did you know me?" "I heard your voice. And I just heard your voice and it sounded familiar." I said, "That must be Pastor Hiram." I said, "How did you hear my voice?" "Through your radio program." People, did you know we have a radio program in Kidapawan? Who's from Kidapawan? Are you from Kidapawan? Really? So, do you get to listen to? You do, every day. Wow. Katuwa naman. But see, last Thursday, I entered the worship hall. Pastor Dean was there. She was having a small group with the indigents that she's ministering to. I just entered, and I think I was talking to Chris. I was just talking to Chris. The woman turned around, and she says, "Are you Pastor Hiram?" I said, "Yes." "Oh, I knew it." I said, What did you know?" I knew that was you. I have not met you before, but I know that voice." Ano ba nasa boses ko? But see, this is what I want to imagine. If someone has heard my voice, I pray that it will be a voice that is calling them back to Jesus. So that when my time comes and when I am in the presence of God, I will have my crown, I will have my joy, because they heard my voice and my voice is telling them, come to Jesus. How about your voice? Have you been using your voice to bring someone back to Jesus? Use your voice to show you care. We care to share the gospel to someone. Amen? Still lots of people that we need to win back to the Lord. Lots of people we need to start talking. Nobody wins someone to Jesus just by acting like a saint. Faith comes by hearing the word of Christ. They need to hear. We can talk. Amen?